I'm here with Alexander Mercurs, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Alexander, let's talk about the JCPOA and the fact that the Europeans have activated the DRM, the dispute resolution mechanism, which means that they're effectively putting an end to their participation in the JCPOA. You wrote an article for The Duran dated, let me pull it up, May 11th, 2018. Alexander, let me read you an excerpt from that article. While there is no doubt European leaders are deeply shocked by Donald Trump's announcement of a pullout from an international agreement in negotiating with the EU played a large part, I strongly doubt that they will find the courage or the willpower to defy the US by in effect encouraging their companies to continue to do business with Iran. It should be said that even with such active encouragement, it is unlikely, in my opinion, that big European companies like Daimler or Airbus will risk US fines by continuing to do business with Iran, even if European governments were to guarantee them against any losses caused by such fines. They would worry about losing access to the US market, which utterly dwarfs Iran's. Given the head of steam that has built up inside the Trump administration against Iran, only if the EU were to threaten publicly to impose reciprocal sanctions on US businesses doing business in the European single market might there be a real possibility of the US being deterred from imposing penalties on European companies which continue to do business with Iran. Frankly, I think there is no prospect of that happening because there is no unanimity within the EU behind it. Poland and the Baltic states would certainly oppose it, whilst I'm sure that even the big EU states, Britain, Germany, France, and Italy, would in the end be unwilling to risk an all-out rupture with the US on such an issue. Quite simply, though, the Europeans are anxious to trade with Iran and to do business with Iran. Iran is not big enough, and trade with Iran is not important enough to make the risk of an all-out rupture with the US worthwhile. Alexander, you wrote that in 2018. I just read a small part of that article. I'll put a link for that article in the description box as well. So give some context as to what you were referring to in that article and how it relates to what has happened today.
I mean, it's one of those articles which I'd written which have turned out to be almost exactly correct. I mean, what happened was this. This was in May 2018. The US government, Donald Trump, announced that the United States was pulling out of the JCPOA and was going to impose severe sanctions on Iran. And of course, the Europeans came along saying that they didn't agree with that, they weren't happy, and that they were going to do everything they possibly could to preserve the JCPOA, which they said they continued to support. And I said that in that article, what the words that you were reading there was that all the things that the Europeans were saying about how they wanted to continue to trade with Iran, how they wanted to continue to support the JCPOA, they were all just words. They were empty words. The Europeans were not going to do anything that would really ensure the survival of the JCPOA or of the relationship with Iran. And I predicted, and I was right, that eventually all of these mechanisms that the Europeans were talking about, you know, the alternatives to SWIFT and all the rest that were going to facilitate trade with Iran, were not going to achieve anything, that trade with Iran would collapse, that the Europeans would abide by the secondary sanctions the US was imposing, and that sooner or later, eventually, both the Iranians would walk away from the JCPOA because they would see no benefit in remaining within it, and the Europeans would accept that and would also walk from the JCPOA also. And that is exactly how it has turned out. This story is a story about the power of the United States. I mean, it has been able to scrap this agreement, even though it's an international agreement, because it can, but it has perhaps even more pertinently been a story about the total ineffectiveness of Europe, how the Europeans can commit to a treaty, negotiate a treaty, but ultimately what they say and what they think is completely irrelevant because they decide nothing and they're not able to do anything if the United States walks away from it. So Europe has been exposed as broken, powerless, and voiceless, and it's absolutely clear once again that it is the United States that holds always the whip hand.
Okay, so what happens now? They've activated this DRM mechanism, which means that essentially it is going to go through a negotiation process, a rather quick negotiation process, and will eventually land in the Security Council and the United Nations. And of course, with the U.S. having that veto power in the Security Council, I think it's a foregone conclusion that sanctions will be placed, U.N. sanctions will be placed back onto Iran.
Exactly. Let me explain the mechanism. What this invoking this mechanism does is it says that Iran is now in non-compliance with the JCPOA. Iran is in non-compliance with the JCPOA. The reason Iran is in non-compliance with the JCPOA is because the United States has pulled out of the JCPOA, and the economic benefits that Iran was expecting from the JCPOA are not coming. On the contrary, the sanctions that have been imposed on Iran by the United States are actually much stronger than the sanctions which had existed before the JCPOA was signed. So this mechanism says Iran is in breach of its obligations under the JCPOA. It provides for a 30-day cooling period, which can, I believe, be extended to 65 days in which to sort out any of these problems. But of course, they won't be sorted out. It will then be referred back to the UN Security Council. And unless every country on the UN Security Council then votes to keep the sanctions in suspense, because Iran is in non-compliance with the sanctions, the UN sanctions will all snap back, and Iran will face all the UN sanctions that it was facing before the JCPOA was signed. Now, the Russians and the Chinese may vote to extend the sanctions. The Europeans, I suspect, will abstain. The United States will veto any suspension of the sanctions. So we will get the sanctions snapping back, and the JCPOA will be once and for all dead. Now, I think the Iranians know that. They're going to press ahead with uranium enrichment. President Rouhani of Iran has talked in that way, and the United States will have got what it wanted, which is the end of the JCPOA and across-the-board sanctions once more on Iran, those sanctions being once again UN sanctions. So it's a case study in the complete dismal weakness of Europe. Once upon a time, the Europeans had the strength and the willpower to stand up to the US on these sort of things, to threaten, if you like, reciprocal sanctions on US companies, as I discussed in that article. They no longer have that. Merkel, Macron, Johnson, and all the others have just folded like a house of cards.
Okay, Alexander, three scenarios then I think can come into play. Iran somehow finds a way to work with China and Russia, mainly China, for alternative sources of financing and other resources via Russia. Yeah. That's one option. Number two, they renegotiate under the terms dictated by Donald Trump. And I actually think Boris Johnson hinted at that with a tweet. He actually hinted at that.
Absolutely.
So that's the second option. And the third option is they enrich the uranium, and eventually the U.S. will bang the drums of war, and the Europeans will go along with that. And they will say, look, they're enriching the uranium. We need to strike at Iran quickly, otherwise they will have a nuclear weapon. And of course, Israel will push all the actors along that line as well. And we get the war that the neocons have wanted with the support of Britain, France, and Germany. I mean, are those the options? Are there anything else?
Yes, Yes, I think those are essentially the three options. I'm going to say what's going to happen, in my opinion. I suspect that for the moment, it will be summer one. In other words, they will get some support, quiet support, from the Chinese and the Russians, and perhaps some other countries, India also, and definitely Turkey. And Iran is a big country. It's got lots of resources. It can keep going. The people underestimate the extent to which it can keep going. In fact, what I'm actually hearing is that the situation within the Iranian economy has stabilized to some extent as they started to adjust to sanctions. Obviously, it's stabilizing at a low level, but it can do so. And I think the Iranians will press ahead with nuclear enrichment, because that's what gives them leverage now. They saw that the North Koreans did that, that the North Koreans went all the way, in fact, to developing nuclear bombs and ballistic missiles, intercontinental ballistic missiles. And that was what brought the United States to the negotiating table. Negotiations haven't gone very well between North Korea and the United States, but at least they're talking. And I think that the Iranians will probably try to follow the same line. And as you absolutely rightly say, if that happens, the neocons and all those people will start agitating for war on Iran. So we are in a very dangerous situation. And the people who are ultimately to blame, in my opinion, apart from the neocons, are the Europeans, who have completely shown once again how ineffectual they are in world politics.
Do you suspect all of this to happen after the 2020 elections? In other yes. words, the US won't be pressing Iran till after.
Well, I agree. I don't think we will see anything happen before the 2020 elections, because I don't think the Iranians are in a position to enrich uranium so quickly. In fact, I think the Iranians know that it's in their interests not to, because, you know, if they start enriching uranium to the 20% level, or God help us, the 90% level, which would be a sign that they're going for a bomb, then I think if it had happened before the election, the pressure on the US and on Donald Trump to take action would be extremely strong. And I don't think Donald Trump would resist it. So I think what the Iranians are going to try and do is they're going to play a fairly long game. I think they can. I think they have the resources to do that. And I think they would press on with nuclear enrichment after the election and hope that if they press forward with that, Donald Trump, seeing the alternative between war with Iran and negotiations, it will be he who will come to the table. Whether that is a correct calculation, I don't know. But we're in a very dangerous scenario now.
Okay, Alexander Mercurs, Editor-in-Chief of The Duran, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell to make sure you get notifications every time we publish a new video. Check us out on iTunes and on SoundCloud as well to get an audio copy of this video. And look for us on bitchute.com and duranvideo.com, where we post these videos on those platforms as well. Download the Telegram app so you can keep up to date with everything that's happening at the Duran, including our DRN20 coupon, which gives you 20% off all merchandise on the Duran shop. And if you purchase ebooks as well now from the Duran shop, we will donate 100% of those proceeds to the NSW Fire Services, which are fighting the fires in Australia.
Indeed so, because this is a big story which we have not so far been able to do a video about, even though we are very conscious of the scale of it and of the tragedy of it for the people of Australia. So we were rather struggling to come up with a response for this. And Alex suggested that the way we should do it would be by contributing all of the money we now make from the sale of those ebooks in our shop to the firefighters in Australia who are heroically fighting these fires. So that's what we've decided to do. So you can actually give a direct donation if you like. The facility does exist, but we would also urge you to buy the books. The ebooks themselves, there's four of them, one on Russiagate, one on Brexit. They've both been around for a while. And we've got two new ebooks, one on Ukrainegate, the big scandal that you're hearing so much about, except in our opinion, It's not really a scandal because there's no crime, there's no wrongdoing, there's nothing. And yet, you know, the president of the United States is being impeached on it. And then there's the other scandal, the huge scandal, where there really is not just one crime, but multiple crimes and real victims and enormous wrongdoing. The Epstein scandal, that's the subject of our other book, and that's not being covered to anything like the same extent. So we have compared, we've written these two books, we contrast these two scandals, we analyze them, we explain them, we think they are interesting and good books for people to read. And as Alex said, every dollar we make from the sale of those books goes to help the firefighters in Australia who are so bravely fighting these fires. Most of them, by the way, as I've since learned, are volunteers. Of course, that's not the only thing you will find in our shop. We've also got our magnificent magic mugs, which we speak so much of and which we are hugely proud of, by the way. I mean, really beautiful, strong, elegant, clean, light mugs. You can see how elegant the porcelain body is, how clear it is, and it's light and strong, and it keeps your tea warm and your beer cold if you want to drink beer from it. I've even drank champagne from mine, but there we are. But the point about our magic mugs is there's lots of them. This one has the coat of arms of the city of Moscow. We've got lots of others. Actually, it's not the Moscow, it's the Russian Federation. We've got lots of others. You can all find them on our shop. And you can also find the great other things that we have on our shop, like the T-shirts that we're each wearing, mine with the double-headed eagle of the Duran, which looks both ways, both to the east and the west. They're all 100% cotton. They're incredibly comfortable, extremely stylish. They keep you warm in cold weather, like the kind we're having in London at the moment, or they keep you cool in hot weather, like I've experienced also when I've been in Greece during the summer. And so they're 100% cotton. They're both long sleeved like these. They're short sleeved. They're V-necked, or they're polo necked. The polo neck shirts are incredibly smart. You can also find hats and hoodies and stickers in our shop. DRN20, the DRN20 discount, as Alex said, remains. So go to the Duran, go to the shop, support the Duran. Alex will tell you how.
Go to theduranshop.com. You will find links for everything in the description box down below, and 20% using the DRN20 discount code. Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of the Duran. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.